I'm going to pray. Then we're going to jump into finding out a little bit more about what Proverbs 8 has to say. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this opportunity that we get once again to come together, to gather as your people, Lord, to hear you speak in your word. And Lord, we pray this morning as we think a little bit more about the message from Proverbs 8, Lord, you might speak to all of us, into our lives, into the situations which you have put us, you've given us, Lord, that we might be people that seek to find your wisdom in whatever place and space, Lord, that we find ourselves in. Lord, we just pray now that you might help us to have open hearts and minds to your message and your word and help me to speak truthfully and clearly of it. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the theme of the first 2 weeks of our series of Proverbs have been, it's this theme of seeking wisdom, searching out and finding wisdom. And I was thinking about that this week. It's kind of like a narrative or a story that has filtered into kind of all different parts of our society and our pop culture and how we see ourselves. You know, from ancient days, right? From ancient times, the story of like the human endeavor to find true wisdom has been around. You know, in the Norse mythologies, you know, Odin, the reason he wears an eye patch is because he sacrifices one eye to drink from the well of wisdom. He thinks so important is wisdom that he sacrifices his eye. That's why he's always depicted with the eye patch on. But from ancient times, this story of humans seeking great wisdom has been around, and we see it still heaps today. Like I was thinking about all the movies that kind of revolve around this idea. From a few years ago, there was Limitless, that one where, you know, you'd take the drug and it'd make you a super genius for the next like 6 hours or whatever it was. And you could, you know, write a poem or balance your budget or do your taxes or whatever it was that was really, you know, you could really get it done in that next 6 hours. You know, and then afterwards there was the same kind of movie, this idea with Scarlett Johansson, but someone took an overdose of this sort of a drug and they kind of evolve into this, you know, super genius creature or whatever. But I remembered this one from the 90s. Anyone seen this movie phenomenon? It is such a heartwarming, sweet little tale. And, you know, no spoilers, but a small town mechanic, something happens to him. And all of a sudden he just gets smarter. And every day he just gets smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter. And he just, all these things that he used to not be able to do, he picks up instantly and he starts kind of solving all the world's greatest problems, you know, like curing cancer or solving the energy crisis or whatever. But no one will listen to him because he's just a mechanic from a small town. No one's interested. Do yourself a favor, go watch that movie. But my point here is not to recommend viewing for you for the week. My point is this. All of these stories revolve around this idea, this quest that if we had true wisdom, what life would be like? What could we do if we truly knew the right things to do in all of these circumstances? If we could take the limitless pill and then all of a sudden, all of the decisions we need to make, we knew what to do. We knew the best way forward, how we could solve any problem, how exactly to respond in every situation. And this really is what the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs is about. It's saying, you know, what if in your life you chose, studied, looked at the path of wisdom in all of life's situations, and through the wisdom that comes from the Lord, you could make those right choices. You could figure out the right path, the best way forward. It would be a prize greater than all other prizes. It would be a treasure of greater value than all other treasures. This is the last one where I'm going to kind of spend a bit of time looking at some of the broader thematic stuff. The next couple of weeks, I'll get more into the detail of some of this wisdom, some of these great teachings. But I want to spend a little bit today thinking about the way wisdom in this passage is personified as a woman of wisdom. So let me start by highlighting that. It's, the more you read this verse, or this passage, perhaps if you first read it, you might think to yourself, like, who's talking? Like someone says, I, blah, 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 and then off they go. And you're like, who is it that's talking? Like, is it God? Is it Jesus? Some people kind of think that it might be Jesus. And you think to yourself, who is it that's having this long conversation? And when we see in the writing there, that what we are hearing from is wisdom personified as this woman, this great lady of wisdom. And she describes herself and how she interacts with the world around her and how God has placed her amongst and within the created order. Verse 12, where we started, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. Here, speaking in the first person, is this separate entity of wisdom, a characteristic of God that, as she goes on to reveal, exists amongst all of the created order. For those that are Star Wars fans, and there's probably less and less Star Wars fans every year, but that's another story. It's this idea, right? You know, the Force is in everything. Right, the Force is everywhere. And those who have the ability to manipulate the Force, they can use the Force to do things and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's kind of like this in the way that wisdom is described as this force, this personified force that is amongst all of creation. In all of creation lies the wisdom of God that is personified in the person or the lady of wisdom. For those that have the discerning eye, they can see that wisdom lies in all aspects of our world and in all aspects of life, you know, like the Force. It's always there. Wisdom is always there. So you have a look at this section. This is verse 22. The Lord brought me, this is wisdom speaking, forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be, when there was no watery depths, I was given birth, when there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth, before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth. You remember Genesis 1:1? Right, it talks about the spirit hovering over the waters. There's unformed chaos. Here, wisdom describes her own birth, that before God created all of the plants and the trees and the hills and the waters, he created this force, wisdom, as this foundation with which everything else was built upon. The first thing that was made was wisdom. Wisdom was here first of God's creation, hardwired into the cosmos and into the logic of everything, born long before humankind came along. It's like wisdom is this kind of this secret code to how God ordered creation. Genesis 1 is all about how there is chaos, and from that chaos, God brings order, because chaos is scary. And order is good and natural and right. And in that process of taking chaos and turning it into order, he embeds wisdom amongst all that he creates. And wisdom exists as this foundation that builds everything from. My point being this, wisdom is more than just handy tips. It's not just like, you know, a cool one-liner that you can, as I always say, knit into a doily, right? It's more exciting than that. It's more deep than that. It's the created wisdom of God that he has embedded into all that he's made. For those who are interested in economics, I often enjoy a good economic thriller, as they're coined these days. There's, you know, one character that looms large over all the history of economics, which is a guy called John Maynard Keynes. And he had this idea that the economy is kind of like driven by the animal spirit. You know, you've heard of the bear and the bull market. Perhaps that's a familiar thing that you've heard before. And this idea that there's all of these, the economy is this huge interconnected thing, that all of these forces play on the economy. And because of all of these forces, it will move and do things. And for him, it was like an animal. It's like it has its own life force, that there's all of these forces that you can push and pull to change things, but it will just behave as it behaves. It has its own kind of living force that is amongst all of the ways humans interact with each other. The Proverbs kind of describes the Lady of Wisdom in this similar way, that it's this living force that kind of permeates all of creation, weaved in and amongst all that humans do, but not as some unnamed force, like the animal spirits. It is a characteristic of God. And what we read in the book of Proverbs is God revealing some of the secrets of the way he laid a foundation for creation to us. And the more we understand this, the more we will grow in wisdom. And the more we grow in wisdom, the more we will be made more in the image of God. And the more we're made more in the image of God, the more we're becoming who God has created us to be. Let's jump back to the section that we were looking at today, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. Here, wisdom is describing herself. And as we listen to wisdom describing herself, we see that wisdom gives us strategies for success and strength and insight and power. The way wisdom describes herself here is practical. It's about how to make us function better in this world, how to make us more influential. Once again, we see the importance of humility, hating arrogance. Pride and wisdom cannot exist together. But this is why God has revealed to us the secret of the Lady of Wisdom amongst all of the created order. Verse 17, I love those who love me. Those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me, and making their treasuries full. Here are some of the promises that wisdom gives to those who seek to find wisdom in their lives, you see. The Lady of Wisdom promises that those who seek wisdom will find it. If you are truly trying to seek wisdom of God in your life, you will not be left high and dry, but you will find what it is you're looking for. Wisdom will not disappoint anyone who is seeking her. It talks here a little bit in verse 18 and later on as well about this idea of enduring wealth and prosperity, which, you know, can sometimes be a bit of an issue fraught with challenges. But the point that's being made here is that the wisdom that God gives us works, that you will succeed in whatever your endeavor is if you truly seek the wisdom of God and apply it to whatever it is you're doing, whatever craft or trade or business interaction that you're doing, if you engage the wisdom of God in whatever it is you are doing, then you will have success because wisdom is part of all things. There's a story about Henry Ford, and he, you know, kind of the creator of the modern factory and perfected this idea of the factory. And he was definitely the first creator of the super factory, where they would do everything there, as in you would put metal in one end and at the other end would spit a car. But the factories were like cities. And in the factories, you would have like metal smelting, and you would have power plants, and you would have, a rubber production. You'd have all of this, you know, because they could just make the entire car end to end through these huge factories. But of course, if the line stops at any point, every second is thousands of dollars, isn't it? Because you've got thousands of people waiting around for the next car to come on the line for them to work on their bit. So the line, you can't have the line stop at any time. That's the worst thing that could possibly happen. One day, there was a problem with one of the power generators. So Ford calls up the expert who rushes onto site, looks around the generator. 15 minutes later, he's worked it out, gets it going again. Everyone's happy. Later, he sends this bill to Henry Ford, and Henry rings him up and says, "Why is this bill so big? Why is this such a large bill? You were only here for 15 minutes. He says, "Yeah, well, you're not paying me to look over the generator for 15 minutes. You're paying me to know where to look." And that's that idea that of greater worth than anything else is wisdom, of knowing where to look. This is the greater worth in our life. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. To seek wisdom is far better than to seek any source of wealth in this world. The true treasure is not gold and silver, but knowledge. It's knowledge of knowing where to look. With wisdom comes the other trappings of success in life. Let's just skip down to the end of this passage. "Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorways." The Lady of Wisdom here speaks to us like a mother in close kind of family language. "Now then, listen, my children," right? And yes, and as all good mothers say to their children, what do they say? They say, "Just listen, listen, listen to what I say." And as a parent, I have this exact problem too. Doing your best to tell your children the pearls of wisdom that you know will see them best in life and you know will help them navigate these situations, and thinking to yourself, "They didn't listen to a single word I said." Or, "They heard it, and now they've heard it, they're going to do the opposite because they don't want to listen to what I have to say." Well, the Lady of Wisdom, the mother to us all, says, "My children, listen to what I say." Another great theme that comes out of the book of Proverbs is this: some listen and some do not. Some seek wisdom and others let wisdom kind of float by on the wind, past them. But blessed are those who day by day watch at the door of wisdom, that have a hunger to seek it, that look for the teachings of wisdom, that go about trying to find how God has embedded his wisdom in everything we do in life. If you're a builder working on the building site, God's wisdom is there amongst the bricks and the mortar, right? If you are an accountant sitting at a desk, God's wisdom is there in the spreadsheets. If you're a teacher teaching children, if you're in an office, God's wisdom lies in all that he has created. And for those that hunger, who watch at the door, those who look and listen to what they find, they will be blessed. So how do we land this plane? It's a good question. What do we make of this passage, this revelation of wisdom given to us, personified in the form of a woman of wisdom? Well, as I was thinking about that this week, you know, it kind of occurred to me that one thing which we really should take away is that the Lord is in all of the works of our hands. No matter what it is that we do, but the Lord is in and amongst all of the works of our hands. All of the created order before the beginning of time, wisdom was woven into all that was made. And part of what God made in making us is all of human endeavor, right? He gave us the ability to think and to create and to build and to work and to make art. He gave us the ability to organize and create structures and governments and countries and nations and all of these sorts of things. All of this stuff flows from God's created power. And therefore, in all of these things, we know that wisdom is the wisdom of God is woven into all of these good things. And when we look at the world, sometimes we think, oh, geez, what a disaster. you know, how terrible it is, how corrupt is the government, and how terrible are these industry people and the billionaires and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, often that's true, right, is that's kind of the case. But the structures itself are not the problem. The problem is the people in them. The problem is that people choose to take more from them for themselves than they need. They pay their workers the least that they can. They do not do what is fair and right and just. They use these structures to hold power over others. They use their weaknesses against them. And in the end, we start to think of the structures of the society that we live in as being evil or corrupt themselves. When I think what we can see here is that this is what God has created for us, and our job in it is to find God's created wisdom amongst it and to bring that to the forefront of all of the places that we find ourselves, whether it is at the school, whether it is at the uni, whether it is at, you know, work or on the building site or wherever it is, that what's there is not inherently bad, but what is there is created by God. And for those who seek and watch at the door, we can promote the wisdom of God amongst all that we operate in this world. What we need to be doing is bringing forward the wisdom and the love of God in the places that he has put us. And I was thinking about what's an application of this? How does this kind of land in reality for us? Well, like as an example, like I was thinking about the gambling reform stuff we've been talking about. Kat just gave us another announcement today about a meeting that's happening soon. And it's kind of this organic thing. I don't know if you guys have felt this. Maybe you don't, but this is let me give you my feelings on it. Kind of organically, a number of groups, churches, but others as well, have kind of come together and just gone, I don't think this is good. I just don't think this is good. But if we're putting on our capitalist hats, we're like, well, why is it not good? You've got companies that offer a service. The service is you can bet, and if you win, we'll pay you money, and if you don't, we'll take it, right? People can choose whether to bet or whether not to bet. No one's being forced to do anything. People are choosing to do what they want to do. Why can't we just let the companies advertise to the punters who want to punt in however it is they want to advertise to them so that punters can punt and the business people can make their money? Isn't that just right? Isn't that the way of the world? Isn't that seems kind of fair to us all? You know, it's not like there's loan sharks running rampant on the street, beating people up because they haven't paid their gambling debts. You know, we get taxes from it. We fund our sporting clubs and all this sort. You know, there's all sorts of things that you could say, well, it just does kind of make sense. And yet we've got to a point where we realize there's no wisdom aside from morality. And is this moral? Is this way that we are using the structures and the systems that the Lord has given us, governments, societies, culture, are we using it wisely or are we doing what is unwise? Is it wise to let the strong and the shrewd business people prey on the weaknesses of others? Is that wise? It's fair. They're offering a service and they're accepting the service. They want to go to the pokies. We have the pokies open for them to go to. That's fair, but is it wise? Like, is it just? Like, is it a good thing? And we're kind of getting to this point where we're like, yeah, it's not wise, is it? It's not wise. It preys on a particular percentage of our society that really struggle with this stuff, that really, really struggle. And we need to put better safeguards in place for it. And I was thinking, yeah, that's like, this is one of the things where it's like, we as a church and like Wesley Mission have been really big on this for a long time in the city and other churches getting on board. We're kind of saying we want to promote the wisdom of God in how our society deals with gambling. We want to bring forward what we think is, as we learned from last week, fair and right and just in the way we interact with our society around gambling and particularly those who struggle with it. And there's lots of other ways in which we can do this same kind of thing. Lots of other ways in which we can engage the wisdom of God and to bring it forward into the world, into places that we have influences or the places which we are embedded in. As the centuries have gone on, the structures of government have brought better equality to the world generally, you know, isn't it? We've got healthcare, we've got education, all sorts of good things that come from it. But our role in society is to kind of continue to bring it closer to God's intended plan, make it more right and fair and just. So as we leave today, we're going to go to our families and our communities and the different places which God has put us. Let me encourage you to seek the wisdom of God wherever it is that you are, whatever it is that you are doing, that we might draw closer to what is wise and what is right and what God would have us do. Let me invite the band up. Leah, would you mind praying for us? And we'll have our final song together.